Blog Talk Radio.
Happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution.
God bless you tonight. This is Call of the Ancestors. And 100, let me see how much of money that is. Dr. King was talking about the money he went to Washington to get. Right now, we gave Ukraine $113 billion and gave Israel $214 billion. This money is taxpayers' money been given out to people. I share our ancestors.
Oh, Queen
Amos
Queen King Hatshepsut, Nefertiti, Queen T, and Queen Nefertari II, we say, Ashe. To the Shepherd Rasa Hudi May,
Ashe. Sam, Sam Cook, I say. Sam Cook, I say.
To all of the kings, queens, priests, and warriors of Nubia, while set Ethiopia, Kenya, the Congo, Tanzania, Uganda, Central, South, and West Kivuland, we say, Ashe. To the more than 600 million Africans whose lives were lost in the European invasions of Africa and in the Middle Passage, we say, Ashe. To the more than 300 million who have since lost their lives to racism and hate crimes, we say, Ashe. To Harriet Tubman,
Ashe.
Frederick Douglass,
Ashe.
Mary McLeod Bethune,
Ashe.
Martin Luther King,
Ashe.
Malcolm X,
Ashe.
Sojourner Truth,
Ashe.
Carter G. Woodson,
Ashe.
Booker T. Washington, Dr. Charles Drew,
Ashe.
Noble Drew Ali,
Ashe.
Benjamin Banneker,
Ashe.
George Washington,
Ashe.
Bishop Richard Allen,
Ashe.
Bishop Charles Harrison,
Ashe.
Howard Thurman,
Ashe.
Bishop Marcus Messiah,
Ashe.
Benjamin E. May,
Ashe.
Franklin Hughes,
Ashe.
Medford Evans,
Ashe.
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 Dr. Martin Luther King,
Ashe.
Malcolm X,
Ashe.
Thurgood Marshall,
Ashe.
Mother Sarah Hale,
Ashe. Dr. Stephen Yakovich,
Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
Ashe. Dr. Asa Hilliard,
Dr. Amos Wilson, Ashe. Dr. John Henry Clark,
Ashe.
Dr. John G. Johnson,
Ashe. Dr. Coleman Wright,
Dr. Dr. D. Ashe.
Dr. Harry Williams,
Ashe. Dr. George T. M.
Chamberlain,
Patrice Lumumba,
yes.
Ashe. Reverend Dunlap,
Ashe. Army in Fruma,
Brother Urban King Carroll,
Jacob Kurezo, Dr. Ashoka Luther Balashando,
Brother
Ray Charles,
Brother Roy Jackson,
our grandmothers and grandfathers, our great grandmothers and great grandfathers, our brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, all those who have gone ahead of us and have made their ancestral transition to their life, deeds, legacy, and contribution.
Ashe, we're talking about the money that was given to the Jews, the money have given to other people and not given to blacks. That's what we're talking about, the money that's been given to other people, but they haven't got to us yet. And that's what we got to talk about, the money. Where's the money at? They've been given up. Gave them all the money, gave up, but what am I to give
you? He looked at me and said, well, sir, then you don't want to learn. Man, that was like somebody took a brick and hit me in the forehead, and I have never forgotten that. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, this is a learning center. It's an online learning center. It's an online institute. I'm here to teach. Okay? not to thrill and still you. I'm not here to make you moan and shiver and shake and all that kind of stuff. I used to do that. I don't do that shit. Oh, excuse me. I hope God. I don't do that no more. Okay, I don't do that. I teach. You don't like what I say? Not a problem. In fact, you don't have to listen to me at all. All right? But you will not disrespect the room. I will delete you and block you. Understand that? They made up a history. They fabricated a history that's not only false, it also identifies them as God's chosen and blessed people above all the other races on the planet. Are y'all hearing me? In fact, their strategically designed propaganda.
Propaganda. It's important to understand what propaganda means.
Then the powers that be will have to, of necessity, launch an offensive to maintain their survival and control over the masses. There's a statement that says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I found out that freedom is something that everybody says they want, but freedom is not something that everybody can handle. Unfortunately, some people need to be enslaved because it helps them to function better. And that's so tragic. The subject of the message today is, and I chose these words carefully, the subject of the message today is the illegitimacy of a people called Jews. Now, my research caused me to end up with a 26-page document. I tried to condense it down to 3 pages, and I ended up with 5. So I'm going to move through this as quickly but yet as slowly as I can, because you can't afford for this to get past your mind. You got to digest this, absorb it as I'm saying it. I want to tell y'all about a people who I have found in my sincere research to be the most recent people, as a people, on this planet. My research has revealed to me that a legitimate, verifiable existence of these people cannot be found before the 6th century A.D. Did y'all hear what I said? I didn't say 6th century B.C. I said 6th century A.D., meaning in the 500s. Before that, there is no evidence, documented evidence of their activity or behavior corporately as a people before the 6th century and as late as the 9th century. These people are truly the Johnnies come late of the world's population. Now check this out, y'all. Yet, despite their recent arrival,
corporate ethnic entity within the space of a few hundred years. These people have managed to become the most powerful people on the planet. They are the principal controllers in the areas of finance. They own all the banks. They are the principal controllers in the area of government, in the areas of labor, law, entertainment, politics, history, maybe I should say his story, and religion. These people have seduced the world into being convinced of that which is not true. Let me say that again. These people who just came on the scene about 1,100 years ago have seduced the world and convinced them into believing what is not true.
Lord have mercy.
These people who have no idea whatsoever of their true origins have in fact written a history. They made up a history. They fabricated a history that's not only false, it also identifies them as God's chosen and blessed people above all the other races on the planet. Are y'all hearing me? In fact, their strategically designed propaganda has been so effective. Now check this out. Their strategically designed propaganda has been so effective that even races and cultures that are thousands of years older than them have adopted their fabricated stories as their own historicity. For the last 1,100 years, these people have systematically duped, hoodwinked, brainwashed, and deceived the entire world with their lies until entire civilizations and cultures have been built on the premises of the lies that they made up. Y'all with me? The eponymous name, and again, what is an eponymy? An eponymy is when you identify yourself after the identity of someone who never really existed. The eponymous name that these people have chosen for themselves, which happens to be Jew, which comes from the word Judah. Actually, it was pronounced Judah because there was no J, so it was the Judaites or the Judites. And notice the similarity between Judah, Jude, Judah, which means betrayer and deceiver.
identity again is Jews.
Yeah.
That program, that bogus program was so effective that they have also associated other bogus names with the word Jew.
Wow.
Other bogus name they created was Hebrew. From the eponymous identity of a so-called father of the Hebrew people called Abraham or Ibrahim, which never existed. And from a man named Eva, which never existed. They also created another eponymous identity called Israelites. From a man whose name was supposedly changed to Israel from Jacob, who also never existed. Never drop something on y'all that a lot of people ain't gonna like when they hear what I'm about to say. But there's a man who these people convinced us was a madman.
Wow.
These people that I'm talking about told us that this man was a satanic agent. He was a mass murderer. And we believed it because they said so.
Right.
Everybody say this. When you control literature,
you
control what people think. These illegitimate people called Jews convinced the world that a man named Adolf Hitler was a madman. And we all grew up understanding that Hitler was a tyrant, that he was a madman. But I'm going to be honest with you. After doing some research on this, I found out, and this is my opinion, that it was these liars and deceivers that Adolf Hitler was trying to cleanse the world of. That's just my little humble opinion. You see, a lot of y'all don't know this, but Adolf Hitler studied the philosophical concepts of the North African people. And Adolf Hitler had come to realize the fact of African historiography by these deceivers, by these illegitimate Caucasoids who took on the identity called Jew. Hitler adopted one of the oldest symbols of God consciousness on this planet. It's called the swastika. We have come to hate the swastika because we've been taught by these people that the swastika is a symbol of Nazi Germany. That's not true. Now let me take you to school right for a minute. If you look at the first of all, the swastika comes back to us from ancient Egypt, 10,000 years BC. And if you look at the swastika, what you will see, those of you of the craft, you will see four squares. Representing 90 degree angles. You multiply four times 90. You come up with a perfect circle of 360 degrees, which represents representing Amun-Ra, or God's son. Now, I know a lot of folks who hear this ain't gonna like what I'm saying. I really don't give a damn. My job is to tell you the truth, like it or not. If you don't like it, do what you feel you gotta do, but I'm gonna tell it. When I stand before the Creator, I'm gonna hold my head up high and say, I open the eyes of the blind by telling them the truth that they didn't want told. Now, Hitler has been portrayed by these people as a madman. But then guess what else, y'all? They also portrayed Manuel Noriega as a madman. They also, the same people, portrayed Saddam Hussein as a madman. And you know what? We all listened to them and took their word for it. They tried to portray Idi Amin as a madman. They tried to portray Kwame Nkrumah as a madman. And anybody else that they can't control. Isn't it ironic? They portraying George Bush as a madman. Now, if there's somebody mad on this planet, that's who it is. It would be an exercise in futility and inconsiderate of your intellectual vigilance, on my part, to attempt to explain to you the biblical origins of such eponymous identities as Jews being the offspring of a so-called progenitor named Judah, or Hebrews, a fictitious character named Abraham, or Israelites being the offspring of some so-called God progenitor named Jacob. Within the context of this message, it would be an outright insult for me to try to use the very stories that these people made up to tell you about who they really are. So if you don't mind, I would like to lean today for my thesis on historical fact. Let's not go to the literature that they gave us in the first place. Let's go to history. Let history speak to us today. See, I can't use the Bible on this one. Because they gave us the Bible. I can't use the Talmud or the Torah or the Zendavesta or the Quran on this one because they gave us all this. Remember, if you control literature, you control what a people think. So in today's message, I want to simply expose some essential facts about these historical Caucasoids. Known as, and these are two words you need to put together, do your own homework on it. The first word is Khazar. Spelled K-H-A-Z-A-R. The Khazars, and the other group is called the Ashkenazim. Khazar, again, is K-H-A-Z-A-R. Yes, if you want the floor. Those are the Russian Caucasoids that took on the identity of being Jews. You have some German Caucasoids that took on the identity of being Jews. But they were called the Ashkenazim. Spell A-S-H-K-E-N. A-Z-I. Put an M on it for plural. Let me first tell you about the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim, or the Ashkenazi, or the German Jews. Ashkenazim is the general definition applied to the heterogeneous branch of European Jews. It refers in origin to the Jews dwelling in the land of Ashkenaz. Now let me show you how deep this is. They put it right here. Because in Genesis, the 10th chapter, it tells you that one of the sons of the so-called progenitor of white folk, Japheth, one of his sons, in Genesis 10 and 3, it says that the sons of Gomer is Ashkenaz, which today is Germany. Yiddish became the official tongue of the Ashkenazim. It was from Germany that they migrated eastward and reached Russia, or the land of Khazaria, where we get the word Khazar from. Now check this out, y'all. These people are so powerful that they have falsified medical records and created bogus DNA reports that says that the Ashkenazim Jews are the direct descendants of Jacob.
Wow.
Well, Pastor, how do you know they falsified the medical report? Because Jacob never existed. So how are you going to be a descendant of somebody who didn't exist? But as a part of their program for world control, they made up this story that we call the Old Testament. You got to follow this. I'm talking about the people who just got here. A people who never existed, but they wrote themselves into existence. That's some deep stuff. They literally wrote themselves into existence and then made themselves pre-existent of what already existed. And then said that what already existed came from them. Because the Bible says salvation is of the Jews. We've all been taught, those of you who study theology, we've all been taught that God's program of salvation for mankind was first extended to the Jews. And because a few Jews did not believe in Jesus Christ. Y'all see this? That it literally opened up the door for the Gentiles to be saved. And when the appointed number of Gentiles accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved, then God is going to come back. And the Bible says, so all Israel will be saved. Y'all follow this. The origin of the Khazars and their earliest history is unknown before the 6th century. Don't take my word for it. Go look it up for yourself. They cannot establish a legitimate existence before the mid-500s A.D. Well, brother, where were they? They were nomadic, barbaric, animalistic, white folk running around in the mountains of Europe. That they didn't want to be Christians, followed this. Because the Roman Catholic Church existed at this time. They didn't want to be under the auspices of Rome, and they didn't want to be under the auspices of the Sheikh or Muslims. So how can they exist as a power? They went into Africa and saw our story. Copied it. Let's go back. First they stole it, copied it, plagiarized it, and then wrote themselves into it. And not only did they write themselves into it, but they twisted it to say that they were once captives in Egypt. Under the hands of a cruel Pharaoh. And God sent plagues into Africa to make Pharaoh let these liars go. Y'all see this thing? I didn't know that there was no Exodus until I went to Egypt and did my own field research. There is no record of some Hebrews ever being led out of Egypt by a man named Moses. That story is in their made-up fabrication, their lies, their Torah, their Bible, and their Quran. Oh, shucks, I got to tell it. According to their own records, they are descendants from Togarma. Again, 10th chapter of Genesis. Another name they made up. Everybody say this with me to the top of your voice. When a people do not have a past, they must create myths to supplement the facts of their existence. You got that? These people can't tell you their history because they ain't got none. The world had blossomed when they came out of the caves of the mountains, the Caucasus mountains. Why do you think they're called Caucasians? Because they came out of the Caucasus mountains. Now y'all did this. In the year 861 A.D. Yeah. What year did I just say? 861 A.D. or A.C.E. after the Common Era, the Khazarian king named Bulan, B-U-L-A-N, officially adopted the stolen, plagiarized, copy, bogus religion that they made up and called it Judaism in 861. What's really deep is, now let me show you how powerful a lie is. These people are on the newspapers. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And a thief, when you tell a lie to the world and you know that your lie has become so effective that you can now turn around and tell them the truth, knowing it's too late for them to do anything about it. So my purpose for sharing this message is not to try to do anything to them or change them. Their program is in place. My purpose for telling you this message is so that you'll drop this mess you've been believing in. Because the thing that makes them powerful is the fact that the world believes their story. The New York Times, October 29th, 1996. The October 29th, 1996 issue of the New York Times reveals that, and I quote, European descended Jews are counterfeits. And a major newspaper tells you that. And it goes on to say, and they have no bloodline to Abraham. Now, I know they ain't got no bloodline to Abraham, because Abraham didn't exist. It goes on to say, and I quote, the fact that most of those who call themselves Jews are not Jews and have no claim to the lands of Palestine because they have no genetic relation to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can no longer be suppressed.
Yeah.
It goes on to say, scholars, this was the headline, scholars debate the origins of Yiddish and the migration of the Jews. Stating or saying, arching over these questions, is the central mystery of just where the Jews of Eastern Europe came from. You see, the Ashkenazi placed their energy into what would come to be known as the biblical text. Centers for rabbinic scholarship came into existence in the 10th century. The first major Ashkenazi literary figure was a man named Rashi. R-A-S-H-I. Also known as Solomon ben Isaac. Now check out this. Solomon ben Isaac lived 1040 to 1105. You see how recent I'm talking here? I didn't say 3,000 years ago. I'm talking 1,000 years ago. And his commentary, Rashi or Solomon ben Isaac, his commentaries on biblical and Talmudic literature are considered today as mandatory study among the Jewish children. Among the Jewish children. Among the Jewish children. How do you get this program into the minds of the world? Put it into the children. Make up the lie and then teach it to the children as the truth. And when these children grow up, they will be convinced that what they're saying is in fact real. The Jews even had their own craft guilds. Each kahal had a yeshiva where boys over the age of 13 learned the Talmudic and rabbinic text, and that's going on right now today. All you got to do is go out here in your city, and you'll see it going on big time. I remember, and then two of them was right here, he could bear witness. I remember one day, we went up for Olive, I think it's Olive, Boulevard there. First, we went up Del Mar to some Jewish study center. I don't know the cross street there, and it was a center for Jewish studies, and I said, Mentuhotep, let's stop in here for a minute. I want to ask them something. And we pulled in and went inside, and they saw these two black men stepping up in there, and everybody got all defensive. And I said, I'm interested in whatever literature you have on Yahshua ben Pandira. Black folk ain't supposed to know about this. They looked at me and Mentuhotep and said, we don't have anything for you here. This is a center for our people. Now that's some deep stuff, because if we did that to them, we'd lose our tax-exempt status. So I said, Mentuhotep, all right, let's go. There's another place on Olive, a Jewish bookstore there. So we went in there. And I stepped in and I said, I'm interested in material that you have on Yahshua ben Pandira. He looked at Mentuhotep and I saw two big bald-headed black men. And and John kept, he said, right there, bear witness. Every time we rode past that store for the next several months, that man would follow us with his eyes down the street. They cannot allow their lie to be exposed.
But we're going to expose it.
Got to set this people free.
Yes.
By the end of the 19th century, how recent did I just say? By the end of the 19th century, there was massive Ashkenazim migration from Eastern Europe to other parts of the world. These people had a program and agenda for world domination. Y'all with me? They migrated to Australia. They migrated to South Africa. They migrated to the United States. They migrated even to a place called Israel, claiming that it was their land, because they convinced the world about that lie, because they made it up. The Ashkenazim began to influence social customs everywhere, follow this, except North Africa.
Yeah.
Italy and the Middle East. Why didn't they have influence in North Africa, Italy, and the Middle East? Because North Africa was the birthplace of civilization. Too much evidence is there. That's where they stole the information to create their lie in the first place. And now North Africa is under Islamic thought. They didn't have much influence in Italy either. Why? Because the Vatican is in Italy. Rome. Before World War II, the Ashkenazim comprised 90% of the Jewish, so-called Jewish people of the world.
Wow.
Let me give you some definitions. How many of y'all have ever heard of the word Hebrew? All right. A Hebrew, by definition, is a person belonging to the worldwide group claiming descent from Jacob, an Israelite or Jew. Again, from the word Judah, Jude, Judas, traitor or betrayer. The word Israelite, by definition, is the ethnic group claiming descent from Abraham and Isaac, especially from Isaac's son, Jacob. These are supposed to be the people whom God has chosen to be his own particular and special people. I guess, you know, I can understand it, y'all. If I was writing myself into history, I would make myself God's chosen too. If I was writing myself into history, yeah, I would say that I'm special to God. And anybody that mess with me, God's going to kick your behind. If I was writing myself into history, I would tell y'all, if you bless me, God will bless you. If you curse me, God will curse you. Well, y'all, that's exactly what they did. This bogus history, this bogus his story of the Old Testament
Testament alone would reveal that the chosen people were descendants of a man named Israel. That's some deep stuff. Now let me prove my point. And I'm gonna try to expedite this. I'm losing my voice on this thing here. Everybody say stolen comedic philosophy becomes the bogus Jewish religion. Y'all following me? These nomadic, barbaric people, Caucasoids, who come out of the mountains with their beastly countenance. Some of them are beasts too. Stole their ideas for their story from ancient Kemet. This bogus religion called Judaism that resulted in the creation of the Torah, the Talmud, and the Old Testament can be proven to have its roots in the philosophical system of ancient Kemet. For example, let's examine the teachings of Pharaoh Amenhotep IV. Now, Pharaoh Amenhotep IV of the 17th dynasty was also known as Akhenaten. Y'all with me? Akhenaten is the author of some ancient scriptures known as the Amarna Papyrus. Now check this out. In fact, how many of y'all got Bibles with you? I'm going to read, turn your Bibles to the 104th Psalm. Now remember, what you're reading is what they made up. I want you to see where they stole this from. Now here we got a people who just came on the scene as late as the 9th century A.D. They had to get a story of an ancient existence from somewhere. So if you gotta steal a story of an ancient existence, where you gonna go? To an ancient people. The Amarna Papyrus, written by Pharaoh Akhenaten or Amenhotep IV, says these words. Now, in fact, read for me Psalm 104. What does it say? I'm listening. Y'all see the parallel here? Psalm 104, what we just read, it says, the young lions roar after their prey. They seek their meat from God. The Amarna Papyrus goes on to say, the serpents all sting and darkness reigns. Light falls over the earth when you rise in the horizon. The two lands are in daily festival. Then all over the world they do toil. How fruitful are your works? They are hidden from your presence. He goes on to say, oh, my only God, whose powers no other have. You alone created the earth as you desired, and alone all that are upon the earth. Now, I've just read to you a text that dates back to 1,370 years B.C. And a people who just came into existence in the 9th century went and stole that information and put it right there in Psalm 104. So let me provide you with a little bit more evidence for my thesis today. One of the basic tenets of Judaism doctrines is found in the so-called first book of Moses. Now, y'all know we've been taught that Moses has 5 books, right? Those of you who are trained in Sunday school, what are those 5 books called? Start with a P. The Pentateuch, 5 books of the law. And they told us that Moses wrote this stuff. Moses ain't wrote squat. You know why? Moses never existed. They made up the name Moses from a great pharaonic Egyptian king known as Menkheperra-Tahuti Mase, who the white man changed his name to Thutmoses. And they took Thutmoses and got rid of the Thut. And created a figure called Moses that God supposedly sent to Pharaoh. In their story, follow this, in their story, in the first book of Moses, also called Genesis, They said that God said.
Yeah.
I always wanted to understand that anyway. How in the world you know what God said? Who was there when he said? Them, they said that God said. Look at the person next to you and say, that he said, she said so. Process this thing and look at how many of your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents believed this lie that they made up. They lived and defended and died in a lie. And it never made sense to them. That's why the only joy that they could get out of it was what's going to happen over in glory land. Oh, God Almighty. When I get over in glory, how good it's going to be, because I'm putting all my hope in this story that I've been told, and it just ain't working. So maybe it'll work after I die. Good God from Zion. And the people that made up this lie, these illegitimate bogus Caucasoids who call themselves Jews, don't believe it themselves. But then again, they ain't trying to believe it. They want you to believe it. While they own the bank, you believe the lie. While they control the media, you believe the lie. While they control your children's future, you believe the lie. Well, is this making sense? Thank you. Because every Sunday, Mentul Tep and I sing on the radio, get up, get up, get up. It's time to get up now, Africans. Does anybody have their copy? I'm going to close this with the cry of Marcus Garvey. Anybody got your copy of Psychic Trauma? Let me see your copy there. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I want to read something for you. On page 345 of the book Psychic Trauma, if you don't have your copy of this, we have them in the Information Center. Page 345 of Psychic Trauma, the bottom paragraph. Those of you who have your copy, say Ashe. Good. I want y'all to read this with me. Page 345, bottom paragraph written in italics. If you have it, read with me. Here's what it says. The great white man has succeeded in subduing the world by forcing everybody to think his way. Y'all see this? Notice what it goes on to say. He has given to the world, from the Bible to his yellow newspaper sheet, a literature that established his right and sovereignty to the disadvantage of the rest of the human race. Am I losing you? Let me read that one part one more time. It says, this white man, this Caucasoid, this liar, this deceiver, has given to the world from the he made up has made him master of the world. And check out this next line. And all those who have come in contact with it, meaning the white man's propaganda, and accepted it, become his slaves. Shots. How many of you sitting in this room came in contact with the white man's propaganda? Every hand in this room ought to be raised. Some of y'all live in his propaganda. Some of y'all will still give your life to defend his propaganda. From his Bible to his newspaper. It says, if you come in contact with it and accepted it, you become his slave. And I tell the truth, tell the truth. Tell the truth. How many of y'all accepted his propaganda? You know you did. We went to school. Not only did we accept it, we went to school and got degrees in it. And want to know why we as a people are in the condition we're in. Now, I've got to do this. I close this message with the same plea that Marcus Garvey put out several decades ago. At the top of page 346, what does Marcus Garvey say? The Universal Negro Improvement Association. That was the name of his organization. And by the way, how the white man tore it down is he planted black folk around Marcus Garvey to bring him down. Marcus Garvey's administrative assistant is the one who brought him down. He trusted the system. And she worked for the system. Stuff he was supposed to be sending out never got sent out. And that gave them grounds to charge him with mail fraud. That's how they got it. Over some simple little dumb stuff like that. The Universal Negro Improvement Association is now calling upon the 4 million members of our race. I'm sorry, thank you. 400 million members of our race. Now here's where I'm repeating that clarion call. I'm asking you Africans and everybody that hears my voice, if you're on the internet, if you're on television, if you're listening to this by tape, whatever, I'm asking you to read it with me. Discard the psychology and propaganda of all other people and to advance our own. Again, I know you think you get joy out of it. What you get is anesthetization out of it. It doesn't deliver you. It puts you to sleep. You running and getting happy because you don't feel nothing. Doggone it. Your son is dying from drugs. And you've been anesthetized by their propaganda. I remember talking to a brother. He said, Pastor, I went to my mother for help, who's a missionary. And when I went to her, she looked at me and said, God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. And in tears, he said, Mama, can't you see I'm in a lion's den? Don't tell me about some Daniel. Tell me how to get out of my lion's den. I'm trying to tell you Africans what we got to do to get ourselves out of the lion's den that they made for us. We got to discard the psychology and propaganda that they gave to us. I know it's painful. I know it's painful for you. It hurts, as you heard the preacher say a little earlier, at almost 50 years old, to come into the realization that everything you've been standing on is a lie. That hurts. But I'm so glad you found out, brother, before you closed your eyes. I'm so glad I found out before I closed my eyes. We got to get this message out to our people. Y'all, I'm willing to die for this. I have no other reason for breathing but to get this message across to my people. And those of you who are agents, who's sitting up in here listening to me, make yourself comfortable. I know you got a job to do. You do your job, I'm going to do mine. I'm going to set as many of my people free as I can. And then when I die and they bury me, I'm going to turn over and tell you to, you know, because I've done my job. I got children in here. I swear before God and the ancestors, I'm going to use every drop of energy that I have to see to it that these young people get right knowledge. Now, I got to say it to you because I'm feeling this thing here today. I ain't lying. If you can't get on board with that, then get the hell out of here.
I hope you got something out of that message today, brothers and sisters. I really do. I have to be honest with y'all. Like I said, I don't hardly get to listen to myself, you know. But as I was sitting with you listening to the message today, it's like, wow. Wow. All I can say is to the ancestors and to the Most High, thank you for rescuing me from the lie that I was in, and not only rescuing me, but allowing me to be an instrument of truth to help set our people free. Yeah, I can understand it. And I was looking at a lot of the comments, and I saw one person stated that this video had been removed from YouTube. Well, I'm so glad I have all of these messages and, you know, in my archives. And my goal is to digitize them and make them available for you guys to download them. You know, so we're going to work on that this coming week or following week. Maybe not this coming week. I have eulogy to do this week. Oh, my goodness. Brothers and sisters, I am so thankful. I'm moved to tears here, man, because I am so thankful that I'm just glad to be an instrument, one of the many instruments. There's some great teachers out there, you know, and I'm honored to be just one of them, you know, that's here to make sure that our young people get the truth. I don't want my grandchildren and your children to grow up under the lies that we grew up under. You know, so please feel free to share this video. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to my YouTube channel and hit that notification button so that when I go live, you'll know I'm live, you know. We got work to do. We've come a long way. But guess what, y'all? We still got a long way to go. A long way to go, you know. And, hey, what can I tell you? I have to be honest with y'all. I'm stirred up today by my own message. I'm stirred up, man. You know, I'm stirred up here. Yeah. The power of the truth. You know, the knowledge of the truth will make you free. I was reading the comments that were being posted. Guys, thank you for the words of encouragement. Thank you so much. I love you guys, too. I admire you. You know, yeah. Yeah, buddy. Oh, boy. Ah. Mm. Yeah. Ah, I'm sorry, guys. Ah, when I think about all the stuff I've been through for simply wanting to tell the truth, and here we're still standing. Well, of course, I'm sitting now, but you know what I mean, right? All I can say is, you know, to the, glory be to the Most High and to our ancestors and to you guys for your support. You know, I mean, like, that means everything, man, you know. The greatest teacher in the world is nothing if no one listens to them, you know. So the very fact that you guys are with me every week, it means so much to me. You know, thank you guys so very much. And to those out there, you ministers who have been watching, because that's really what spawned me going back and grabbing some of my old messages. Okay, again, you know, ministers wanting to know, Brother Ray, how can I move my congregation into right knowledge like you did your congregation? You know, as we were listening, I was thinking about our Queen Mother at the African Village, how she explained to me one day that when I started teaching, she was going to leave, you know, the ministry, because she thought I was a false teacher and leading the people astray. She went home and told her husband, I can't sit under this man. He's teaching stuff I'd never heard before. And she let him hear some of my messages, and he said, don't you go nowhere. You stay right there and listen to this man, because he's telling you what I've been trying to tell you for years. Oh, boy. A change is coming. Sam Cooke recorded that, right? A change is going to come. Yo, it's coming. And I'm glad I'm a part of it. And I'm glad you are a part of it. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, if you would take a moment and share with us, you know, your substance. Well, of course, before doing that, I encourage you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. All right, send me your email. I welcome your email. All right, there's my email address there, rayhagans@gmail.com. If I don't get to you right away, then just bear with me, because I get at least 250 to 300 email every week, you know, and I try to respond to all of it myself, you know. I don't have time to teach by way of email. That's why I have videos. That's why I do this every Sunday, to teach. Okay, but if I can send you a short reply, then so be it. I don't debate at all. I don't do that anymore. I don't have time or the energy for it. Okay, so you can save your debate, your disagreements. You can keep all that to yourself. Okay, I teach. That's what I do. One of my teachers, the late, great Dr. John Henrik Clark, said it this way. only debate my equals. All others I teach. Well, I can't even say I debate my equals because I don't know who my equals are. Okay, I consider myself a student. Those who might be my equals, I consider them my teachers. You know, when I say that, I mean warriors like Professor James Small, for example. Great brother, one of my elders. He's not that much older than me, but I consider him one of my elders, you know. My brother, Hiawatha Kabene, you know, great brother, awesome brother, you know, these are brothers who I don't even consider myself their equal, you know, and we don't debate because we're brothers, we're on the same page, you know, so I'm just honored today, you know, so brothers and sisters, feel free to go to my webpage. Like I said, it's still in process of being developed, but you can still hear the teachings. You can go there and listen to my lectures 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, okay? Also, you want to make your donations to show your support? Please feel free to do that. Right here is how you can make your donations. If you're donating through PayPal, and by the way, before I even go any further than that, to those of you who have been making your donations, you guys have no idea how much I appreciate it. You know, it helps keep us going as far as our expenses and what have you. You know, can you believe that we still are paying bills at the African Village and we're not even there? You know, but we get bills like crazy, man. Our gas bill this past month was over $1,000. We haven't been using the building. So we're trying to figure out what's going on, you know. Okay, I don't want to do too much talking. I don't want you to lose the message, but you can always come back and listen to it. All right, but here's how you make your donations, okay? Through PayPal. All right, PayPal address is africanvillage1@aol.com. If you're making your donation through Cash App, it's hashtag Dr. Ray Higgins, and my name is spelled H-A-G-I-N-S, not Higgins, H-I-G-G-I-N-S, okay? It's H-A-G, one G, not two Gs, Dr. Ray Higgins, all right? If you're making your donation through Zelle, it's my email address, rayhiggins@gmail.com. For those who want to mail your donation in, you see our address there, okay, the African Village, 3520 North Newstead Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri. Even though we're not meeting, our office manager, Sister Valerie, still goes down there, okay, to get whatever mail comes, okay, so we can handle our business affairs. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Brothers and sisters, of course, you know I can't close out without letting you guys know about one of the greatest organizations that I've been blessed to know of, and that is the Black Achievement Fund. Okay, if you have not joined the Black Achievement Fund, come on and do so. All right, in fact, every Sunday Brother Arkie Hodges goes live to talk about the Black Achievement Fund.
Full of goodwill, put their bodies and their souls in motion. It will be the kind of soul force brought into being as a result of this confrontation that I believe will make the difference. Yes, it will be a poor people's campaign. This is the question facing America. Ultimately, a great nation is a compassionate nation. America has not met its obligations and its responsibilities. The poor. One day, we will have to stand before the God of history. And we will talk in terms of things we've done. Yes, we will be able to say, we build gargantuan bridges to span the seas. gigantic buildings to kiss the sky. Yes, we made our submarines to penetrate oceanic depths. We brought into being many other things with our scientific and technological power. It seems that I can hear the God of history saying, that was not enough. But I was hungry, and ye fed me not. I was naked, and ye clothed me not. I was devoid of a decent sanitary house to live in, and ye provided no shelter for me. And consequently, you cannot enter the kingdom of greatness. If ye do it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye do it unto me. That's the question facing America today. And I want to say one other challenge that we face is simply that we must find an alternative to war and bloodshed. Anyone who feels, and there are still a lot of people who feel that way, that war can solve the social problems facing mankind, is sleeping through a revolution. President Kennedy said on one occasion, mankind must put an end to war, but war will put an end to mankind. The world must hear this. I pray God that America will hear this before it is too late, because today we are fighting a war. I'm convinced that it is one of the most unjust wars that has ever been fought in the history of the world. Our involvement in the war in Vietnam has torn up the Geneva. It has strengthened the military-industrial complex. It has strengthened the forces of reaction in our nation. It has put us against the self-determination of the vast majority of Vietnamese people and put us in a position of protecting a corrupt regime that is stacked against the poor. It has played havoc with our domestic destiny. This day we are spending $500,000 to kill every Viet Cong soldier. Every time we kill one, we spend about $500,000, while we spend only $53 a year for every person who characterizes poverty-stricken in the so-called poverty program, which is not even a good skirmish against poverty. Not only that, it has put us in a position of appearing to the world as an arrogant nation. Here we are 10,000 miles away from home, fighting for the so-called freedom of Vietnamese people when we've not even put our own house in order. We force young black men and young white men to fight, to kill in brutal solidarity. Yet when they come back home, they can't hardly live on the same block together. Judgment of God is upon us today. And we can go right down the line and see that something must be done. Something must be done quickly. We have alienated ourselves from other nations, so we end up morally and politically isolated in the world. There's not a single major ally to the United States of America that would dare send a troop to Vietnam, and so the only friends that we have now are a few quiet nations like Taiwan, Thailand, South Korea, and a few others. This is where we are. Mankind must put an end to war. War will put an end to mankind. The best way to start is to put an end to the war in Vietnam, because it is contentious. We will inevitably come to the point of confronting China, which could lead the whole world to nuclear annihilation. It is no longer the choice, my friends, between violence and nonviolence. It is either nonviolence or non-existence, and the alternative to disarmament, the alternative to a greater suspension of nuclear tests, the alternative to strengthening the United Nations and thereby disarming the whole world, may well be a civilization plunged into the abyss of annihilation, and our earthly habitat will be transformed into an inferno that even the mind of Dante could not imagine. This is why I felt need raising my voice against that war, working wherever I can to rouse the conscience of our nation on it. I remember so well when I first took the stand against the war in Vietnam. The critics took me on, and they had that say, the most negative and sometimes most vicious way. One day a newsman came to me and said, Dr. King, don't you think you're going to have to stop now opposing the war and move more in line with the administration's policy? As I understand it, it hurt the budget of your organization, and people who once respect you have lost respect. People who once respected you have lost respect for you. Don't you feel that you really got to change your position? I looked at him and I had to say, sir, I'm sorry, you don't know me. I'm not a consensus leader. I do not determine what is right and wrong by looking at the budget of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. How about taking a sort of Gallup poll of the majority opinion? Ultimately, a genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a mold of consensus. On some positions, expedient or cowardice asks the question, is expedient. And then expediency comes along and asks the question, is it politics? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither faith nor politics, not popular. But he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. And I believe today that that is a need for all people of goodwill to come with a massive act of conscience and say, in the words of the old Negro spiritual, we ain't gonna study war no more. This is the challenge facing modern man. Let me close by saying that we have difficult days ahead in the struggle for justice and peace. But I will not yield to a politic of despair. I'm going to maintain hope as we come to Washington in this campaign. The cards are stacked against us. This time we will really confront a Goliath. God grant that we will be that David of truth set out against the Goliath of injustice, the Goliath of neglect, the Goliath of refusing to deal with the problem. Go on with a determination to make America the truly great America that it is called to be. I say to you that our goal is freedom. And I believe we're going to get there. Because however much she strays away from it, the goal of America is freedom. Abused and scorned though we may be as a people, our destiny is tied up in the destiny of America. Before the Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth, we were here. For death is an etched across the pages of history, the majestic words of the Declaration of Independence, we were here. Before the beautiful words of the Star-Spangled Banner were written, we were here. For more than two centuries, our forebears labored here without wages. They made cotton cane. They built the homes of their masters in the midst of the most humiliating and oppressive conditions. And yet out of a bottomless vitality, they continue to grow and develop. If the inexpressible cruelties of slavery couldn't stop us, the opposition that we now face will surely fail. We're going to win our freedom because both the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of the Almighty God are embodied in our echoing demand. And so however dark it is, however deep the angry feelings are and the violent explosions are, I can still sing, we shall overcome. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed the earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. As we were singing earlier today, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mounting of despair the stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. Thank God for John, who sent us to go out on the lonely, obscure island called Patmos, caught vision of the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven, God. Who heard a voice saying, behold, I make all things new. Former things have passed away. God granted we would be participants in this newness, this magnificent development. If we will but do it, we will bring about a new day of justice and brotherhood and peace. That day the morning stars will sing together, and the sons of God will shout for joy. God bless you.
And then whatever the gas costs to get you up there and back, and then $450 deductible for your visit to the emergency room when you cut up your car.
Here's a good idea. Let's give Dad a reason to use that chainsaw he's had in the garage for 35 years. I don't know what you, I like to get my Christmas tree the same way that my pillow guy got his crack. I like to hand $200 in cash to a man in the parking lot of an abandoned Circuit City.
Occasionally gets to decide if we send funding to Ukraine. Biden may be heading to Congress. He said, Hunter said he is willing to testify before the House Oversight Committee, but only if it's televised. He wants to do it in public, preferably nude, in a hot tub, smoking an unfiltered cigarette with a hooker. But the legal team wants him to testify out in the open, but Republicans don't want that. They don't want it on TV. They're like, if we don't do this behind closed doors, how are we supposed to make stuff up? The chair of the Oversight Committee is really... The man who runs the Oversight Committee says Hunter Biden's trying to play by his own rules instead of following the rules required of everyone else. That won't stand with House Republicans, which is, of course, hilarious for about 10,000 different reasons, especially from James Comer, who went after Joe Biden for giving his brother a $200,000 loan. Turned out he did the same thing for his own brother. So it's really amazing. Even though we see no evidence, and they've seen no evidence, that Joe Biden had anything to do with this, Hunter and the laptop, this will not go away. Joe Biden could become the first president ever to get impeached because his son didn't have Apple Care. But nowadays, give your opponents an inch, and these guys are so desperate to smear Joe Biden, they are literally now grasping at straws.
Now, DailyMail.com called Biden sucking on what looks like a milkshake through a straw. Could be a smoothie. Looks like chocolate to me. Now, little advice for grown men. If you want to enjoy a milkshake or anything with a straw, please do it in private. It's not a good look. Men should never suck anything through a straw.
Jesse Waters might be going through some sort of an identity crisis. Real men dump their milkshakes all over their nipples. They don't need straws. Oh, no. Oh, Jesse, you better apologize to President Safety Freeze right now. On Fox News, I don't know if he ever turned it on, but everything is Joe Biden's fault.
He's even getting his money grubbing hands into our brown beef. How much is a bottle of ketchup? A medium bottle of ketchup. How much? $6. A hamburger, which is a staple. Hamburger is approaching $6 a pound. And here's the thing, and I know the White House is very concerned about the price of things. Joe Biden will not be reelected president if hamburger is $6 a pound. America cannot survive on $6 hamburger. Period. And here's why, Steve. Play it down the pipe. It's not just a hamburger. It also hurts hamburger helper.
Hamburger Helper. Donald Trump was president. Hamburger Helper was an official White House cabinet position. We got a fascinating look into what went down between Trump and his former vice president Mike Pence on January 6th. The special counsel, they've been quietly conducting their investigation by the book, specifically the book Mike Pence wrote. But there are new details emerging about former Vice President Mike Pence's conversations with Special Counsel Jack Smith. For Pence's question about personal notes he took after meetings with then-President Trump. The one line of questioning has to do with the placement of a comma in a quote from Pence's book. Pence wrote that he told Trump on Christmas Day 2020, quote, you know, comma, I don't think I have the authority to change the outcome of the election on January 6th. It's a comma there. That's key. ABC News reporting Pence prosecutors, it should never have been placed there. But it was supposed to be an admonishment.
Yes, he was supposed to be, you know, I don't think I have the authority. Instead of like, you know, I don't...
Only my Pence could get caught in a controversy about a comma. If Donald Trump's out there banging porn stars, throwing bottles of ketchup at the wall, my Pence is giving sworn testimony about a typographical error, a comma. So to be fair, commas are, they're not really, he's more of a colon guy, you know, he has... had his head up Trump for almost 4 years, but comments are important. Comments can make quite a difference. For instance, if you add a comma to hang Mike Pence, it becomes hang Mike Pence. Pull up a cushion and chill out. Our show, for those of you who have not been here in person, we're located in the heart of Hollywood. We're right down the street from the world-famous Hollywood Bowl, which is a great concert venue. They have a lot of variety. There's classical music. This month alone, Kiss played the ball, followed by Mariah Carey. So we did, we positioned ourselves outside the venue for both of those shows to conduct what we had called the Hall at the Bowl. And here's how we're going to show you a fan a bunch ago. You have to guess whether they're there to see Kiss or Mariah Carey, okay? Here we go.
I'm Jose. I'm Slade. I'm from San Francisco, New York City.
And Jose, who are you here to see tonight, Kiss or Mariah Carey?
Okay, is Jose there to see Mariah Carey or Kiss? What do you think?
Mariah Carey to go.
No, you're Mariah all the way.
Mariah all the way.
What's your favorite Mariah song?
Underneath the Stars or Breakdown.
And what's your favorite Kiss song?
Shoot. Next question.
Jose does not want to rock roll. So you get it? You get it?
My name is Rosalind, and I'm from Brisbane, Australia.
And Rosalind, who are you here to see tonight? Mariah Carey or Kiss?
Okay.
Australian and Rosalind come all the way to see Kiss or Mariah Carey. You say Kiss, well, let's see what she says.
I'm here to see Kiss.
Did you come to Brisbane just to see Kiss?
Just to see Kiss.
How far would you travel to see Mariah Carey?
I wouldn't.
All right,
next up.
I'm Alex from California. And who are you here to see tonight, Kiss or Mariah Carey?
All right, Alex. Tori, remember, before you get too excited, there's no prize.
Mariah Carey.
I'm going to show you. This is Kiss. Wouldn't you want to see them instead?
Yeah.
Who wears more makeup? Is it Kiss or Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey.
Kiss, actually, they don't even have to wear makeup anymore. That's just their skin now. Our next music lover is?
I'm Giovanni from Pomona, California, and I'm around.
Okay, Giovanni, who are you here to see tonight, Kiss or Mariah Carey?
Now, this could be a shocker, right?
What the? And Mariah Carey on the
hill? Wouldn't that be awesome?
No. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. No. Tell me. Mariah Carey, I'm here for Kiss.
Then what did she say to Christmas song?
No, you can't. No.
This is a no good guy. We say not there anymore. All right, I think we have one more. I'm on Andrew.
Andrew, who are you here to see tonight, Kiss or Mariah Carey?
Oh. You split again. Well, that's fine. Is Andrew supposed to see Mariah Carey or Kiss?
I'm here to see Mariah.
No, yeah.
You
know what I'm talking about.
There's not, for some reason, the one that's come to mind is Touch My Body.
Touch My Body?
Yeah.
Is that a real song?
I know that's a real song because my first time masturbating as a kid was through that video, and now I'm here to Mariah Carey share with my mom. That's an interesting thing.
Okay, Andrew,
Mariah
Carey or Kiss?
ABC Jimmy Kimmel Live, brought to you by Target.
At Target, the low price is on price.
Again. Who's winning?
We are, my friend. We are.
Give the iPhone 15 Pro with titanium for Boost Infinite and share the endless delight of the latest iPhone, year after year after year. Give the iPhone 15 Pro with titanium. Boost Infinite. Devotion by Bill Changabana, a new fragrance for her.
Big moment here for Charles, who ate a big old bowl of Raisin Bran Crunch and packed a downright immaculate carry-on. Big Chuck, you suck-rolling son of a bitch.
Hi, Phil Swift here. This is Schmidt Super Glue. Just one single drop virtually welds itself to the surface and can easily lift over 3 tons. Get the new Flex Super Glue. Because it works.
Red Lobster's new Lobster and Shrimp Celebration.
We got ham, shrimp, potatoes, jellyfish, stuff in the cup. Free lobster and shrimp entrees for a limited time.
Did you know you can get 40% off a single pair of glasses at America's Best? These savings won't last forever, unlike your eternal elation. Okay, well then, jump online and book an exam at americasbest.com.
Celebrity Jeopardy, hosted by Woody, Ken Jennings.
New voice for the Central on ABC.
On your period, sudden gushes happen. Say goodbye, gush tears, thanks to Always Ultrathin. With rapid dry technology that absorbs 2 times faster. So low, clean, and comfortable. Always fear, no gush. Free of a brilliant smile. Press as you cover. Nice cover. Crest are you right? 100% more stain removal. Crest.
Lactate is 100% real milk, just without the lactose. Delicious, too. So that's my old drink, Kevin.
Nothing like enjoying a cold one while watching a game. Who's winning?
We are, my friend. We are. If you missed out on getting a McRib in the past, here's your chance to get one before you miss out again. McRib returns.
The Gilded Age, as you can see on HBO, and Max Terry Coon is with us, and then later, together again after a long hiatus, this is their latest album. It's called Somewhere Between the Power Lines and Palm Trees. Brett Domrose, Rob Nailhouse, and Keanu Reeves, music from Dog Star tonight. We'll be joined by Kiana Taylor, with music from Mitch Rowland, and Eddie Murphy will be with us tomorrow night. You hear that, Guillermo? Eddie Murphy will be with us.
I know
who that is, right?
Yes, Jimmy, I love Eddie Murphy.
What's your favorite Eddie Murphy movie? Go ahead.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop, all right, that is one.
Yes. And the more, Coming to America.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Wow, you're a real Wikipedia all of a sudden.
Your guest
tonight is a very talented man who plays a legitimately mad man, a psychotic and murderous Sheriff Roy Tillman in Season 5 of Fargo.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think you'll find that there's no one on God's green earth who is a greater enforcer of the laws of this land than Roy Tillman.
I feel like there's a but here.
But what you need to know is that I am the land. Elected by residents of this county to interpret and enforce the Constitution given unto us by Almighty God. Amen.
New episodes of Fargo are Tuesday nights on FX and the following day on Hulu. Please welcome John Hamm. potatoes there, man. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm great. Thank you. It's good to be seeing you.
I have to tell you, well, you know, because I texted you when it happened, how excited I was for you to be a part of. Because I love Fargo.
I mean, me too. I was just as excited when they said, hey, you want to be on Fargo? I was like, yes, I do.
Tell me where. Was it as simple as that? Did you know what you're getting into?
Well, I showed up to Fargo, North Dakota, and they're like, we don't shoot here. You know that.
You're in Canada,
right? Yeah. Beautiful Calgary, Alberta. And when I say beautiful, I mean freezing cold.
Yeah, that's one of the things about Fargo, is if you shoot it when it's cold, that's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember, you know, because in Celsius, zero is freezing.
I know, it's much colder in Celsius.
So you go, well, zero in our thing is really cold.
Right, yeah.
It's normal there, but then it gets down to like minus 30, and you go, this is not safe.
And then you have to be naked, which I'm not sure, did you know that was going to be the case?
I thought I had a rider in my contract, and I said, naked's fine.
Cold naked is not great.
Warm, like, yeah, warm naked.
I've always said that about you. He's kind of a warm naked guy. Yeah.
That's a great scene. That is a really fantastic scene.
I feel like we need to see a little bit of the rest of the scene, though. Yeah.
Discussing matters of state and moist repose bother you?
It's an instant classic. It tells you all you need to know about this.
I didn't know my butt looked like that with all the pixels. That's weird. I mean,
the last episode of Batman. And that was shot
at the very same place we ended up doing Harry. So, full circle moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Came all the way around.
I don't know why, but the first thing I wonder when I hear a story like that is, did they give you a discount? Yeah.
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 It was great. It changed hands since the time. This is about 9 years ago. So, it changed hands at the time. It's still a beautiful piece of property right on the Pacific Ocean. We got married on a cliff, and we chose to walk the correct way after we got married.
And Paul John was the officiant.
Oh, our mutual friend Paul John is about 6 feet tall. I'm a little over 6 feet tall, so we needed somebody tall.
Paul John is 6'7", I think. Yeah,
6'7" on a good day. I think he was about 6'10". We made him stand closer to the cliff.
Yeah, for sure.
Couple steps down to make sure he wasn't going to do any crazy.
And then you had your first Thanksgiving as husband and wife.
Yeah, I did. But not fortunately, not my first time. I'm in charge of the turkeys, and we have two because we have 15 people at our house. Which is
how many pounds turkeys?
One was 18, one was 16.
Now, when you went back and added it all up, you realize you made a pound of turkey for each person there, which is a lot of turkey.
Here's why I love my wife, too, because we got the turkeys, and I'm pulling them out of the thing, and I'm wrestling them into the brine. She goes, I was like, we have plenty of turkey. Well over, 36 pounds of turkey, whatever it is. We had plenty. Leftovers, we had sandwiches, we had soup. It was
cool. You have to have the leftover. That's the thing. You have to also have the
leftover. Why is my favorite? I'm sure it's probably your favorite, too. It's my favorite holiday because there's just so much good food.
Do you guys eat ham, or is that weird?
We don't do ham.
You know, so yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I want to run by you. John Hamm
is here. Fargo is the show.
I'm middle-aged woman.
Is it menopause or something else?
In an office.
Why don't I feel like myself?
Women reflect.
Could this be menopause? What's happening to me? The menopause journey has stages. Learn about yours with ClearVue Menopause Stage Indicators that tracks your FSH hormone levels, combining them with your cycle data. The more you learn about your stage, the better prepared you can be. ClearVue Menopause Stage Indicator. What's your menopause stage?
Almighty good work.
Oh, you don't need me. Like a good neighbor, take on the day.
The boss thing on the app.
Lovely home, by the way.
Like a good neighbor, they are there.
I'm Andrea, and this is why I switched to Shopify. It gave me so much peace of mind. If we made a change, my site's not going to go down. And just knowing that I have a platform that we can rely on, that is good. Start your free trial today.
Hope is something I think we'll find a lot of tonight.
Informative. Allergic reactions, pain, nausea, and headache. Most common side effects were nausea and sleepiness.
Ask about Ubrelvy.
I'm not in trial, but this is my makeup is.
Lightweight treatment, up to 16 hours long.
It makes me feel
travelable.
You're worth it.
With Nurtec ODT, I can treat and prevent my migraine attacks all in one.
So take it allergic to Nurtec. Allergic reactions can occur in 15 days after using. Most common side effects are nausea, indigestion, and stomach pain. Talk to your doctor about Nurtec today.
A peerless reminder of excellence. A car
the entire Oldsmobile brand folded the year after it was produced. With a four-cylinder, 2.2-liter engine, lovingly driven for more than 150,000 miles, nothing can stop it. Not even the eucalyptus tree that fell on it earlier this year. The cracked front window is utterly spiderweb. The roof boomed in an elegant arc. And the rear window, gone. Because who needs to look back when the road ahead is so wide open? Rich Ferrari's 2004 Oldsmobile Alero, priced at only $2,000.